Chapter 3. Maiden No More. The basket was heavy, but she carried it without complaining. Her heaviest burdens were not material things. It was a Sunday morning in late October, a few weeks after Tess's night ride in the chase. She climbed the hill and looked down into the valley of her birth. Today it seemed even more beautiful than usual. Since she had last seen it, she had learned that the serpent hisses where the sweet birds sing, and her views of life had been totally changed by the lesson. She was now a different girl from the one who had left her home 4 months earlier. Alec drove up behind her in a gig.
"Why did you run away?"
he asked.
"I had to drive very fast to catch up with you. If you won't come back to Trantridge with me, at least let me take you to your village in the gig."
"I won't come back."
"Let me take you home, then."
She put her basket and bundle in the gig and climbed up beside him. She had no fear of him now, and the reason for that was also the cause of her sorrow. Alec had quite forgotten his struggle to kiss her in June, when they had driven together along the same road in the opposite direction. She had not forgotten, and now she sat with her head down, replying to his remarks in monosyllables. When the village of Marlott came in sight, Tess began to cry.
"Why are you crying?"
he coldly asked.
"I was born there."
"Well, we were all born somewhere."
"I wish I had never been born."
"If you didn't want to come to Trantridge, why did you come? I know you didn't come because you loved me."
"No, I did not go there because I loved you. I never sincerely loved you. That is why I hate myself for my weakness. I didn't understand your meaning until it was too late."
"That's what every woman says."
"How dare you use such words?"
she cried, turning to him with a flash of anger.
"Don't you know that what every woman says, some women may feel?"
"All right, I admit that I did wrong, but I'm willing to pay for it. You don't need to work ever again. You can buy yourself beautiful clothes."
"I don't want your money."
"Well, if you need anything in the future, write to me and I'll send it to you."
He stopped the gig and helped her down. They were at the edge of the village now, and she wanted to walk the rest of the way alone.
"Let me kiss you goodbye, Tess,"
he said.
"If you wish."
She stood there passively while he kissed first one cheek and then the other.
"You never let me kiss your mouth, though, and you never kiss me back. I'm afraid you'll never love me."
"No, I'll never love you. Perhaps I should lie about that now. But I have a little honour left, and so I won't tell that lie."
"Then goodbye, dear cousin,"
he said. He leapt onto the gig and was gone. As Tess walked along the country lane to Marlott, she passed a man who was writing texts from the Bible in bold red paint on a wall. He had already completed one that read, "Thy damnation slumbereth not." Now he was writing another, "Thou shalt not commit." Against the soft blues and greys of the landscape, the scarlet letters seemed grotesque, and their message seemed frightening and horrible. Then she saw the smoke rising from the chimney of her old home, and her heart ached.
"My dear,"
cried her mother when Tess appeared at the kitchen door.
"Have you come home to be married to your cousin?"
"No,"
said Tess quietly.
"He is not my cousin, and he will not marry me."
"For a holiday, then?"
"Yes."
Her mother looked at her closely.
"What has happened?"
she asked. Tess rested her head against her mother's shoulder and told her everything.
"And yet you didn't get him to marry you?"
"Any woman except me,"
said Tess.
"Why didn't you think of your family, instead of thinking only of yourself? Your father is not well, and you see how hard I work. He gave us the horse and many other presents. If he is not your cousin, he must have done it because he loves you. And yet you didn't get him to marry you. You should have been more careful if you did not want to be his wife."
Oh, Mother,
cried poor Tess.
How could I have known? Why didn't you tell me that men were dangerous? Why didn't you warn me?
Joan said,
I did not want you to be afraid and lose your chance. Oh, well, we must make the best of it. It is nature, after all. It pleases God.
Rumours of her wealthy cousin's love for her made other girls in the village admire and envy Tess. As time went by, however, she began to hate the way they looked at her and talked about her in whispers. She left the house less and less frequently. If she wanted to take a walk, she went at dusk when most people were at home. During those walks, Tess often saw the birds and the rabbits in the trees and hedges. She felt different from them. She felt that she was guilt walking through the places of innocence. But she was wrong to think that. She had been made to break an accepted social law, but she had broken no law of nature.